This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geek, show number 633 with John Biggs, recorded on December 19th, 2024. Here on Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite tech gadgets that find their way into your home. News, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Carlson, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios here in a very windy. We have had wind warnings all day. It looks like they've moved on, but it's been super windy here. John, hopefully in your neck of the woods on the East Coast, a little bit better weather maybe?
So far, it's been fairly nice this week, but I think that's going to change tomorrow and over the weekend. I don't know about the wind, but we're supposed to get some dramatically colder temperatures down to like a low of 16 or something.
Yeah, I think we're sending the cold weather your way. We're down into the teens tomorrow. That's what this cold weather is bringing in. But it's okay. It's warm here. And of course, we'll post the show with some world-class show notes out at theaverageguy.tv. Big thanks to our Patreon subscribers. For those of you who do it via Patreon, we just have one $5 plan if you want to support the show 1 month or as many months as you want. Many of you continue to do that. Head out to theaverageguy.tv/Patreon. And you can sign up there if you so choose. The easiest way to do it, though, there's an affiliate link, a red affiliate link at theaverageguy.tv to purchase on Amazon. So, you know, you're buying stuff now. Although, hopefully, John, I hope you haven't waited for the last minute.
Nope. But
hopefully, Christmas, you're a planner, right? Christmas is taken care of for you.
Well, I'm a planner, but not a good gift wrapper. So, historically, I wrap gifts on Christmas Eve out of desperation. Oh, yeah. But I actually spent most of the day today wrapping. So yet another benefit of retirement.
Yes. Yeah. And I need to do it as well. I've got some stuff. And Sarah, I have to be quiet because her gift's at work. So I need to bring it home and then wrap it and put it up there. By the way, Tony's checking in. And I wasn't quite, he's at 4 out of 5. So
four out of eight.
Yeah. So Tony, thanks for coming out tonight. Appreciate you, you being here. But if you purchase through that link on Amazon, of course, it supports the network and all those good things. So thanks for doing that as well. A few of you have been doing that. This is that time of year, or maybe you're the person who waits till after Christmas when all the stuff goes on sale or whatever. And we know that happens. Best time of the year to buy is right after Christmas, I think. I follow Slick Deals and Honey and Brad's Deals to track all those things down. Shoes, clothing, that kind of stuff. The stuff I really need, I kind of just wait till January and then buy it that way. Do you have any, are there any patterns that you follow?
You know, I don't. It's almost like at this point, if I get interested in something, and Meshtastic's a good example of that. Let me go buy all this stuff. I was telling one of my engineer friends today, I said, well, I went down the rabbit hole because of Mike.
Yeah.
And I bought the, I meant to bring that thing up here to show. I bought enough. I made one of the portable units, and my daughter's boyfriend 3D prints stuff. So he 3D printed me the actual case for it. So I built one. So that's good. Well, then I got all excited and thought, well, I'm going to put up a solar powered node on my roof. So I went and bought all that stuff. It's in a box in the basement. I'm not going to get to that in springtime. And then since then I've been, you know, put this portable one in my car and just driving around with it. In the back, like I don't mess with it, but then I can look and say, okay, did I see any nodes? And I do, but other than that, I haven't done anything with it. Well, but I just thought it was cool technology to mess with.
Yeah, we talked about that. Mike Wieger was on. You can go to theaverageguy.tv and just search Meshtastic in the search there. It'll take you there. But yeah, Mike keeps saying, listen, twice I've had him on the program and he's like, I'll bring one over.
I was going to ask you.
Do you think one has been brought over yet? No, no. I need to go over. Listen, and only don't tell him because he doesn't listen. So I can say this. Don't tell him I said this though. Next time he's on, don't tell him I said this. I've always got to go over there and get stuff from him. He always says, "Oh, I'll bring it by."
Yep.
Not true. Not true. If I'm going to get anything from him, he's got an extra one all for me. We can put it on the shed and do some things with it. You need to get. I mean, you kind of think about the need, like there isn't a big need for this, but to be able to, it's like the old CB radio stuff where you connect with people and, oh, hey, where are you at? And you're close by and this kind of thing. Maybe you get to know some of your neighbors, right?
So ironically, that's exactly what happened. I built my node and I could only see one other person. And that other person happened to live at the end of my street. And you kind of know how my house is positioned over the hill, right?
Yeah.
Like I have never seen to this person at all in 30 some years, right? That's and crazy. Now I'm texting with him over Meshtastic, find out he lives, 300 feet away from me on the next road over. And those are the only nodes I can see.
Yeah.
And after that first couple of days of texting with him, then, I haven't followed up at all. I almost wonder because, one of the things people ask me, because, my background's really RF engineer. That's what I went to school and studied. It's, are you a ham? No, I've never been interested in ham radio at all for whatever reason. It's just not something that attracted me. So I kind of look at Meshtastic as like ham radio only for texting almost.
Yeah. Yeah. No, a lot. Well, but shorter distance, you've got to get some hops to get distance on that thing. Right.
Yeah.
It's an interesting, Ed Sullivan, who I spend time with every Sunday, he is kind of like, it kind of solves a problem that doesn't exist in some ways. Right. But it is, I don't know. Again, there is some local connectivity to that kind of deal. It's interesting. Who knows what it can lead to?
Right.
Right. From that standpoint. So, anyways, one more thing before we turn it over to John. Big thanks to Dave McCabe, who joined me last week. If you haven't listened to that show, you'll want to. CNC, woodworking, 3D printing. It's all there. Dave's doing some incredible stuff. He's never boring, John. Like, Dave's always got his hands in something, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Never boring. So big thanks, Dave, for coming on last week. John, it's been, I think I mentioned you the last time you were on was show 530. That was 2.5 years ago, April 9th, 2022, the published date. So a couple days before that, you, I think, had just retired at that point, and we spent a bunch of time. You were doing a bunch of kind of fitness tracking stuff before we get to that. Catch us up on your life besides being here every Thursday for what? You're not? Besides being here most Thursdays.
Tony and I tag team.
I like that. For Home Gadget Geeks, give us a little update on what's going on with you.
All right. Well, I'd say 2.5 years, three years since I've been retired. Never bored, not one day bored. Never had a problem with the transition from working John to retired John. But, a lot of people may have that. I never had that at all because I always viewed myself as a geek who liked to play around with stuff and a father and a husband who just happened to have to go to work. And then when I didn't have to go to work anymore, I'm still the same person. I just can be more of that. So no issues there. And I've just been loving it. I'd say the first 6 months, maybe a year, I got to sleep again. Because when I was working, I was sleeping 4.5, 5.5 hours a night. I was just a walking zombie. And I got to the point where I was sleeping 8.5 hours like every day.
Oh, nice.
I haven't felt this good in 15, 20 years. It was awesome. And then I joined a gym, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But what happened is I was always exercising in my basement, and I ended up essentially hurting my knee with bad form in squatting. And it got to the point where I couldn't kneel on the ground. The pain was so great. It's like, oh crap. Okay. So then I went to probably 3 months of physical therapy. I wish I had that money and that time back because it really did nothing for me.
Oh shoot.
And then eventually I found a gym that was focused on weightlifting and strength. So it's a barbell gym. It's a small gym in Westminster. They have coaches. They can really teach you how to do things correctly. So I started going there. So I went there the first day. It was like four. So their hours are like 5 in the morning till 10, and then 4:30 in the afternoon until like 9 at night. It's like, okay, well, I'm not going there at 5 in the morning. Let me go at 4:30. So I went there at 4:30 and it was packed. It was loud. It's like, I'm coming in the morning.
That changed your mind, right?
And then, okay, so
too many outgoing
get there
people.
At 8, right? 7:30 or 8. Well, that means I need to get back up at like 6:30 in the morning. So now instead of sleeping till 8:30, I'm sleeping till 6:30 because I just can't get myself to bed before midnight for some reason.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Okay. It's, all right. Yeah. I struggle with that for, no, I struggle with that for a while. In the last, I don't know, something changed in me maybe a year ago, and I'm down here yawning. My forehead is smacking the desk because I'm falling asleep at 9:00. And I kind of just been listening instead of trying to find more things to distract me. I'm just going to bed. Now that led to me waking up for a while at 3:00 or 4:00 in the morning. Right. But then eventually I began to do some breathing stuff to kind of help with that. And that's helping me. You've got to find your own path on that. But
I've totally done that stuff too.
I totally understand. Yeah.
Consistency seems to be the key.
Yeah.
If I can get to bed by 10:00, then I'll be good. But
yeah,
there's always something, like you said, just like always something else to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a personal challenge. That's probably my biggest retirement challenge right now, which is good.
Yeah,
yeah.
So finding that rhythm.
Yeah,
it's
important. So we'll talk about exercise later on. Like you said, I've been able to do a lot of traveling still.
Yeah, you've been traveling.
Family all vacations. Over. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my daughter's in Colorado, so my wife and I have been able to get out there several times during the year to visit her and spend some time. So that's been good. And then we like to take our family vacations to the national parks. So over the last couple of years, we went to Crater Lake and out through Oregon and down to the Redwoods. That was a great trip. And I actually got to swim in Crater Lake.
Oh, a little chilly.
Yeah, it was like 55 degrees.
It's a little chilly. As a kid, when I was there. Yeah.
So I grew up, my parents had a pool, so swimming, being in the water doesn't bother me at all. Mm-hmm. What kind of was unsettling was there's no bottom here.
No, it's deep. Like,
so, and I was a little concerned about the cold, not so much like, oh, it's too cold, but it's like, okay, I'm fine as long as I'm still fine, but what happens if I'm not, right? So I was always keeping my head above the water, not out, not going far from the dock, all that kind of stuff. Right. Just to say I could do it in and out
a
couple times, had some fun. It was great. Yeah. And then last May, we went to Yosemite, which is like a really great vacation that requires a lot of planning. Mm. And you have to make your reservations exactly a year in advance if you want to stay in the parks. So we're all good planners, so we were able to do that. And one of the hikes there, and we were talking before pre-show about proper fueling while you're out doing this.
I was wondering if this was where this was going. Yeah.
So one of the hikes we did there was called the Mist Trail. And this hike is, it's like 6 miles, I think. About there. Maybe it might be 10 in that range. Mm-hmm. And you go up, it's called the Mist Trail because there's a waterfall and you're actually walking up granite steps that are just covered with water and mist is blowing on you. We took raincoats and put on all this stuff. Otherwise you'd be just totally soaked. Mm-hmm. Right? And it's not hot out there either.
Right.
And there's like literally, you know, an inch of water pouring down these stairs while you're walking up. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's called that. But it's a winding trail and there's a couple waterfalls you get to the top. Well, on the way back, part of the return path was closed due to a rock slide. So it's a detour. So we had to go add an extra couple miles. And we also took longer rests and longer looking around than we had planned. Right? So the bottom line is we ended up doing an 11-mile hike in 11 hours.
Mm.
But we only took 6 hours of food with us.
Yeah. Yeah. So, a few snacks that you probably polished off pretty early.
Well, we took 2 sandwiches and some snacks. We had food, but we didn't have enough. And that's where I learned the lesson that you really need to plan. And you know, you were talking about doing your stair thing. I want you to talk about that.
Yeah.
Really plan to at least have like 300 to 500 calories an hour. Mm-hmm. And don't wait to eat like every hour, eat that along the way, right? Keep your energy constant. So that was a big takeaway from that. My wife wasn't with us, but she was quite pleased when we finally got back because she was getting worried.
Just you and your daughter on that one?
Me and my daughter and her boyfriend.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So the technical term for that is called bonking, when you get to this spot where you run out of, your body runs out of calories. Yep. And you think, well, like, I got fat on me. Well, fat does not metabolize fast enough. It can, but it doesn't metabolize fast enough for you to use it in that, especially in high activity like that. And when you bonk, did you like, for me, I went on a 50-mile bike ride on a whim one day. I was like, oh, I could do this. I didn't take any ID. Yep. I didn't have a credit card. I didn't have
anything. Why would you do that?
I didn't have a phone. I'm like, I need to get this 50 in. I'm just going to do it. Yeah. And at mile 38, I bonked and I started cramping and I thought I was going to die. Actually, you know, I'm like, they're going to find me. There's going to be bones on the side of this trail.
With no ID.
No, nothing. I had a rented bike. That's all I had. I'd rented one of our B cycles. Did everybody suffer on that, or was it just you? Or
no, it actually wasn't me. It was my daughter who suffered the most. And I was like, I still had water in my Camelback. I was giving that to her, and you know, the electrolyte drink and all that stuff. Yeah. Yeah. But it was a little concerning because we were in the middle of nowhere. Right. There's not a lot of people on this trail.
Yeah.
The sun is going down. Right. So, she got rested up, had an apple, and eventually, recovered. And we ended up fine, but lesson learned there for sure.
No, you do recover. I was cramping and I couldn't stop cramping. And it wasn't Sarah. I called Sarah from, I had to borrow a cell phone from the one person that was at the trailhead. Yeah. I got so lucky and I called her. I'm like, can you get here? It took her 20 minutes. I'm walking around trying to stretch out. Like, it doesn't matter how much you stretch. It's not good. The muscles are cramping because they're out of calories. Right.
Yep. And we had no cell phone access.
Right. Yeah. And I had no cell phone. So it was very similar.
Yeah.
She brought me some protein bars and I just, of course, wolfed them down. And 20 minutes later, I was fine. Right. But that's a real thing. I think that's one of those things your advice is wise. And what I've always learned is you eat before, if you're doing those kinds of things, you eat before you think you need to make sure you're keeping calories. Eat early and eat often. That's like voting in Chicago, right?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah. So what's kind of interesting. So hiking with my daughter and her boyfriend, and we hike out in Colorado too, up in the Rockies. Right? And I notice when we get going, it takes me a little while to get going. But then I'm like, I'm good because I'm in pretty good shape, right?
Yeah.
Well, on the way back down, my daughter and her boyfriend were in front of us or in front of me, right? And I noticed every now and then, like pretty often, he would turn around and check on me. Mm. Like, how's the old guy doing?
And I think,
buddy, guess what?
I'm probably in better shape than you are. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But that's nice. I mean, it's nice to see that concern, right?
Yeah. When you're out hiking Yosemite or Colorado, you using any tech to kind of keep track of stuff and know where you're at?
So
besides cell service, I mean, but is there other tech that you're using?
So we use the All Trails app and you can download those maps. So that's always useful. And then my daughter and her boyfriend, they do a lot more of this hiking than I do. They actually have one of those Garmin inReach devices.
Oh.
So
what's that? So
it's like an emergency beacon if you really get stuck. And we had that with us there at Yosemite. So if things had really gone south, we could have used that. We were still 2 hours away from anybody getting to us, though. But he can he'll go out in the Rockies and do a lot of four-wheeling, off-roading and stuff. So he has that, and he can text with that back to my daughter to say, hey, I'm here, things still fine, all that kind of stuff, checking in. So that's a pretty cool device.
Okay. InReach, InReach.
I think Garmin. So. Yeah, it's a Garmin. It's
InReach. Yeah, it looks like a little walkie-talkie. I got that up on the screen. Okay. It looks like a little walkie-talkie. It's got some – Garmin has some really cool gear for this kind of stuff. And they've been making it forever. And I think even it's a lot of it's C++ coding. Cause they were, even as just a couple of years ago, they were hiring Java and C++ developers to create this stuff. And they get a really super efficient code. So this stuff can last forever. That's on a little battery. Yeah.
Yeah. Super cool. Yeah. Super cool. So that got me thinking then too, it's like, I wonder if my wife had a Meshtastic node and I had one of those with us.
Oh,
since it's line of sight, right? Because those things can go 50 miles if they're line of sight.
Yeah.
Would that be an option? So one of the things I want to do is build another node and try that out in the Rockies.
Yeah. So you'd have a node at the car?
Yeah.
And then you'd be carrying, you'd carry one. Okay.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that'd be interesting to try.
Seems like that should. Well, now you could get stuck in a valley, right? Yep. Since it is line of sight.
It's line of sight, yeah.
You'd have to get to the top of the mountain, some of those kinds of things. Good. Yeah.
Yep. So that's kind of some travel stuff. Other stuff I've been doing, I joined the Lions Club. My wife kind of thought that would be helpful for socialization.
That still exists? I didn't even know
that. Oh, yeah, it's huge.
Really?
Yeah, okay. It really is. Okay. It's the largest service organization in the world. I've learned that much. So it's interesting. A lot of the folks there are probably in their 70s to 80s.
Yeah.
I mean, you see this a lot of service organizations now, that folks who used to be when my dad was in the Rotary Club kind of thing, right? He was in his 40s. Well, nowadays, folks in their 40s are working all the time.
Right.
So it's the retired folks that are in these organizations now.
You know, John, okay, so that's interesting. I hadn't thought of it this way, that in previous generations, maybe 30 or 40 years ago, they may work and also be a part of some, that's maybe their hobby, right? Was to be a part of some kind of service organization. Uh-huh. Rotary, you mentioned Rotary, Lions, Shriners, right? Yep. Some of those kinds of things. But that really is kind of fallen. Do you think that's kind of fallen by the wayside?
Oh, yeah.
We're working. Is it because we're working too much? Or
that's what I think. Yeah. You are always on, right? You've always got your phone. And
or has sports taken the place of that with families having kids and sports? Has the sports time taken?
Yeah, that could be too. I mean, when I was little, at least, I grew up in a small town in Western Maryland, so not around like where I live now, but there was no travel leagues. There was none of this, driving all over the, eastern half of the United States every weekend.
Yeah.
None of that kind of stuff. We just played Little League and that was that. So I just think it was a slower pace of life.
Yeah.
And my dad worked 8 hours and came home every day. And home was 10 minutes from where he worked, not 45 minutes to an hour and a half.
Yeah, not a huge commute. Yeah.
For me, it's like, man, once you work 10 plus hours and add three more on the drive, guess what? I'm not volunteering anywhere.
Right. Yeah. No, you're right. I think about my dad. My dad was an IBMer, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he worked for IBM in San Jose. I grew up in Silicon Valley, where it all started, right, on the tech side of things. But you're right. He was home every day, 4 o'clock. He left at, 7:30, and he was home by 4:30 or whatever, just like clockwork.
Yep.
And it was just a different lifestyle, maybe.
Yep.
It's easier to get around in the Bay Area in those days, too. San Jose was a lot less populated.
I think that as a country, our culture is just to push and push and push for more and more productivity. And where does it end?
Right. No, I agree. So the Lions Club, right? What's that do for you? I mean, what need does that fill for you?
So it's okay. I tell you, one of the things, the coolest thing I've gotten out of it is I met this guy who's probably 83 years old. Okay. And he was an engineer that worked he built the cameras for the very first spy satellites.
Oh, wow.
And he and I are buddies now, right? Because we can talk to each other.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And we like to work together when we're doing stuff. And so this past weekend was a national Wreaths Across America. And what that is organizations will go out and place a wreath on every service member's grave that they can find, right, in the cemetery. So our club sponsored a cemetery here in Sykesville. And what you have to do is go out and mark the graves a couple weeks before, and you have a list of the people and like, where are they? And the cemetery is broken into sections, right? So we went and did this. And then when it's time for the day, you've got to go out and organize giving out the wreath, marking off the name, making sure they're all done, all this stuff, right? And I told him, I said, he and I ended up being paired together. I'm like, oh, this is great, because we both think very methodically. Right? when the things were doing the markings, there were a couple people who were kind of wandering around in their section at the end, and they're just wandering. Like, there's no methodical. And we're like, hey, you need some help? No, we're good. Okay. How are you doing this? Oh, we're just wandering around. Okay. It's like, I've had it.
Everybody works a little different.
Anyway, that was a really cool thing that we've done as a group. Other thing the Lions focus on, which is kind of tied into some of the things we're going to talk about tonight, is diabetes awareness.
Mm.
So I joined the diabetes awareness committee. And one of the things that I've kind of organized is a walking group.
Mm.
So every Thursday morning, a group of us get together and just go to a local park and walk around for an hour to get some healthy steps in, right? Talking. So that's been good. And then they also found out I knew some tech stuff. So they asked me to help support their web pages and their Facebook page. So we rotate, months doing that. So I'm actually on for December. It doesn't take too much time. And I actually learned some stuff. So that's cool.
Yeah. Thanks for doing that. Thanks for doing the Reads Across America stuff. I mean, that's super important. We are, Sammy and I, during the pandemic, walked through the Bellevue Cemetery a lot. We got to know that. Actually, workout partner I have now during better winter, non-winter months, we walk the cemetery on Sundays. There's a lot of work that goes into both Memorial Day and Veterans Day in the cemeteries, as well as all the other stuff that goes on. And that's super important. So thanks for doing that. Appreciate it.
Yep. I was happy to do it. And I tell you, attention to detail. It's really important. You don't miss anybody.
Yeah.
Right. Sure. So we had the list and we're walking around double checking, can't miss anybody. So that worked well with my personality.
Yeah. No, good. Good for, I too, as I walk around the cemetery, I want to start cataloging, and our cemetery has a computer now, touchscreen, when you pull in and you can type some names in, it'll kind of show you the area in the cemetery, which is kind of cool. That used to just be a, piece of paper and they've digitalized all of that to get it done. But I've always, as I walk around, for me, walking around the cemetery is not a morbid exercise. It's an exercise. And every one of these people had a life.
Yep.
Like mine. And I kind of wonder, like yours, this is what I love doing the show, is because I'm super interested in other people's stories, right? And hearing what's going on in their lives. All those people had stories, including the person who used to own this house is buried there now.
Oh, wow.
And we knew them. And so you walk by and you just kind of like, wonder what life was like for whatever, right? Whoever that person is. So anyways, I find cemetery is very fascinating, and that might be a little morbid, but I find it that way.
It was interesting too. I mean, this cemetery goes back to the founding of this town. It's like when the land grant was given and all that stuff. Yeah. And there are tombstones there, or grave markers we were trying to find, that you could not read.
Yeah.
It's like you could barely, we found a guy who was a Confederate Navy captain.
Wow.
From the Civil War.
You have 100 and some years on us. Our graves are 1840s, 1850s, right. In that time frame here, the early European movement out here. But Brian in chat says, let me throw that up there. I think this is important. He says, yeah, thanks, John. It's a service that doesn't get enough recognition, but it's so appreciated by people who may be at their lowest when visiting loved ones who's passed on. And how important is that for those family members who are coming and then the wreath is there, right? They didn't have to do that. They come and they feel honored as well. And that,
It was a great thing to do. I really enjoyed it.
No, good. Good. Yep. We won't spend any more time on this because I want to get to your Tesla work. But I think when we think about retirement and we think about having that time, I think there are those things like that. And you got to find your thing, or you can give back, or you can do stuff other people can't do. Like we were talking, not everybody has the time to go do those things anymore. And retirement's a great time to fill those needs. And it feels good for a lot of people when you do those kinds of things. Right.
Yeah. And you reminded me of a quote from William Shatner, of all people. And someone asked him, he was, he's old now, right? He's 91, 92 years old, still great, still smart. Yeah. And they ask him, how do you keep from getting depressed? All your friends are gone, right? Mm-hmm. And it was a legitimate question. And he said, if you're ever depressed, go help someone. Mm-hmm. And, there's a lot to be said
for that. It's tough to be depressed when you're helping people. Like, it's tough to feel sorry for yourself when you're helping somebody who's not as fortunate, or might even be as fortunate or more fortunate than you, but they need something. They need, my neighbor two doors up is battling cancer. And so he was putting on Facebook, "Hey, I'm going to be locked up at the hospital for 10 days, kind of thing. And I'm like, "Well, can I come visit you? Like, is that allowed? And, are you too sick for a germ guy like me to come in?" And he's like, "No, absolutely. Come see me. Like, this is great." So I took a couple hours out of the week, had lunch with him, and then went there on the weekend. And I just don't think that's so fulfilling. Right.
Right. And just to kind of wrap up on that, from back home where I grew up, Kelly's family has some friends who are older. Like, they're 90. One woman is 92, 93, maybe 95 at this point, right? Still living on her own. Doesn't get around as well, but she's still capable, right? Yeah. And I told Kelly, like, she always makes Kelly these particular cookies at Christmas time. Mm. I said, we need to go up there and make cookies with her.
Yeah.
Right. No matter what else is going, we need to go now.
Yeah.
This might be your chance to do it.
This could be it. Yeah. This could be it. And my mom was 93 when she passed, but up until a year before, she was running the thrift store for the retirement community. When other people would pass, a lot of times the family would donate those items, and then people could buy them, and then they would give that money away. Mm-hmm. It wasn't used for them. It was given away to some local shelter or whatever. My mom did that till she was 92.
Yeah.
So great opportunities there. Give us a quick update. We know you're a Tesla guy. Paul Brennan is listening carefully now at this point, because Paul is also a Tesla guy. But give us a little update. What are you doing around the Tesla space?
Okay, so you say quick, and that doesn't work when I start talking about Tesla.
Quickish.
So I saw a little meme that had one of those accidents at work kind of things. Yeah. And it said, "This person has successfully not avoided talking about their Tesla for 0 days. Previous record, 1 day." So that's kind of true.
I get it. Kelly is
she's pretty good at going like this.
She is a saint, by the way. She is just a saint.
Yeah. She is. All right. So what have I been doing? So I had my Tesla almost 4 years now, and I joined the Tesla Owners Club of Pennsylvania, even though I live in Maryland. Right. So why is that? Well, they offer classes for new Tesla owners and any Tesla owners. And that's where I learned about the club, and also about, how to use my Tesla. So one of the things I wanted to do to give back was I talked to the president and said, "Hey, I'm happy to help you teach these classes if you'd like." And the first couple of times he's like, yeah, whatever. Then finally he's like, okay. So he let me start helping teach these things. And flash forward, at this point, I'm actually now in charge of owner's education for the club. I've taken over the whole teaching responsibilities, which was never my intent to start with, but I say I kind of grew into it.
Sure.
So we teach four classes every month. There's a two-part new owner class. There's a full self-driving class. There's a road tripping class, right? How to take a long road trip in your EV. We just did winter boot camp. So this week I did full self-driving on Tuesday, winter boot camp on Wednesday, and Jim Collison on Thursday.
You've had a busy week.
Yeah. And then these slides. So it's a PowerPoint presentation over Zoom. And the slides always have to be modified and updated because Tesla's always changing and adding things. So that, you know, they'll tweak their software.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when I first got my car and I told one of my friends I was doing this, he kind of looked at me and goes, well, don't you just push the button and drive? And I was like, I didn't know how to respond to that. But as I thought more and more about it, my response is kind of like, well, if you get Microsoft Excel, you can just fill in the, you know, the numbers in the boxes and press sum and you got an answer, right? But there's so much more that you can do with that program if you learn how to do it. Mm-hmm. It's the same with our cars.
Yeah. I, you know, as you were talking about this, it got me thinking a little bit. You know, AAA, the Motor Club, mm-hmm. started a long time ago because these things called internal combustion engine, right, were new. And so, you know, there were these motor clubs that rose up around, you know, internal combustion engines. Then they kind of faded off, and Tesla's kind of now taken that. There are these clubs because it's unique, right? Mm-hmm. As I've watched you and some of the things that you've been doing with us and some of the things you're teaching with it, you know, I don't think it'd be a bad idea if we got back to some of this education for all drivers. Right. Because there are things you talk about. Yes, charging stations and software and updates and some of those kinds of things. It's fairly unique especially to a Tesla. Some of the other manufacturers are coming along with that. But I do think there are things we could emphasize, maybe especially to our younger generation or even some of our older folks, about how to take trips and how to do some of those kinds of things and work that. I think we've gotten away from that. Maybe too easy to jump on a plane, right?
Yeah. Actually, I'm looking forward to taking some long road trips. The furthest I've gone so far is Alabama. Hmm. My niece lives down there, but eventually I'd like to drive down to Texas and watch one of those SpaceX launches.
Yeah.
Of the Starship mm-hmm. rocket.
Little meta there, you know, driving a Tesla down to watch SpaceX.
Yeah, for sure. And of course, driving out to Alabama or to Colorado.
Yeah. So
that'd be good.
Do you feel like with Tesla, is the pace at which the software is being updated, is it still at a pace that it's been in the past? Or do you feel like it's maturing in some sense that the big changes are not happening as fast as they used to?
Yeah, that's probably accurate. Maybe Paul can add to that. Sure. What they're doing now mostly is adding features. So they just released the holiday update. And they'll bring things like XM radio. You can now listen to XM in your Tesla. And they'll add, you know, light shows. Your car can do a light show, synchronized light show with other Teslas all, you know, at the same time. And there's, you know, just most of the feature set is down. The road tripping and navigation stuff is just phenomenal now, what they do. You know, you put in the destination, it will plot your path and tell you every single stop you need to make to charge. It will tell you how long to get there, how long you have to charge, you know, when to leave. But get this, Jim, all of this is live. So they know what the weather is. They know what the wind is along the route. They're calculating all that resistance in. They know if it's hot and you're using the air conditioner, so you're going to use more energy. If it's raining, all that stuff. And they also know now, because the charging infrastructure for Tesla is like the best, and there's a lot of them out there. So now they know who's going to which charger, how long they're going to be there, right? Who else is headed there, when they're going to be leaving, all of that stuff, and they're synchronizing it. So if there's a charger that's like, you know, it's spot X and a different charger that's 5 miles down the road, depending on who's going where, they may redirect you to the less busy one to keep all of that optimized across the entire network. That's crazy. Right?
But what if you get some jerk who goes and plugs in and then it charges to whatever the system says, and then he doesn't leave?
Yep. Like, so, you know? Yeah. So there's I forget what they have a word for it. I forget what it is off my head, but it's
yeah.
It's a fine, right? So if your car has stopped charging and you're just sitting there plugged in, dollar a minute.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
Chargers are super busy.
Yeah.
You want to be a jerk. Yeah. Okay. But you're going to pay for it.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So they incentivize you not to do that.
I'm a little jealous. I think, again, this is an area where other car manufacturers, I have a 21 Subaru Legacy. It's all gas. You could do some of this same planning where, you know, I'd love to have an interface to say, hey, I'm traveling to here. And it would do the same thing with gas stations, right? You know, now that infrastructure is not built. Gas stations don't track things that way, right? Blah, blah,
and,
blah, blah.
And they're all third-party gas stations.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tony. Tony says idle fee. That's exactly what I was looking for.
Yeah.
Yep.
Idle fee.
Yeah. So Tesla can do this because they control all of the infrastructure.
Yeah. Right.
So
right.
If you go to an Electrify America, who's responsible for that? Who's responsible for keeping that charger running?
Right.
Volkswagen, guess what? They don't care. Right. Ford, well, they may use it, but they're not responsible for keeping it up and running. So you end up with a lot of, you know, chargers that frankly aren't reliable because there's nobody actually responsible for that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it could be, though. I mean, if we could figure out a way to incentivize the, you know, in that, it's not going away tomorrow, right?
Absolutely.
Gas engines are not going away tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think it could be interesting to bring in some of that smart technology that Tesla's doing. Now they've dumped a ton of money into the infrastructure, right? And they have spent a lot of money on the development of that software. But I'd sure like to see some of that trip planning make its way into and maybe in some cases I don't have that in my Subaru, and maybe in some of the newer ones some of that exists. I don't know.
Well, and I would offer too that the gas stations are so ubiquitous that you don't need this.
For right? sure.
You just drive and then you can pick one of the 27 that you see along the road to stop
that. Would that same thing be true, John, if electrical charging stations were, just say magically overnight, all gas stations go electrical? Do you think Tesla would still do that with their software if it was just you could pull over and charge anywhere?
I do, because again, I go back to, you know, you talk magical reliability and uptime of these charging networks that aren't Tesla is not
sketchy. Good. It's sketchy.
Yeah. So you don't want to count on that, right? Because if you're going to the one, you know, if there were more of them, then you would have more choices.
Right.
But
right.
Where's the profit motive?
Right.
So
for sure.
We'll see. We're in a transition, right?
Right.
In 10 years, we'll have a better feel for it. But right now, if I was buying an EV, I would absolutely buy a Tesla just because, you know, depending on your use case. If you're going to drive it around locally, then yeah, you're fine with whatever. But if you want a road trip and do it reliably, then Tesla's the way to go.
Ed Sullivan, who's a good friend of the show, is going, I shouldn't say this yet, but he may do something other than Tesla. So we'll have him on after he does that. We'll test that hypothesis, John, on it. Brian says he loves his Tesla. It's like celebrating my birthday every time I drive it. That's a great way. Brian, that's a great way of saying it. And, you know, it's a good, and I think, you know, for the folks, John, who do own those, because it's a small family and it's getting bigger, but it's still a small family. I think it has that family feel at sometimes, right? You guys get together in your motor club.
Yeah, it depends. I mean, that's changing too, you know, because so many more people have them.
Yeah.
It's not the, you know, family thing that it was. Because you'll find, you know, chargers where people just throw their trash out just like they do other places.
Yeah.
You're as you widen humanity, you welcome more of that activity into your
you do indeed.
Stuff, right?
The unwashed masses, as they are called at times.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Well, one of the concerns I've heard around the Tesla space is that on car design, they're not innovating. Like the Teslas that I buy today are the same ones that were available 7 or 8 years ago. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah. They're supposed to release two new designs in the first half of this, you know, 2025.
Yeah.
I have no idea what those would be. There's speculation that there's going to be a real SUV. We'll see. And of course, they just had their Cybercab event a couple months ago, if you're tracking that.
Sure.
So that car will also come out probably in the first half of next year. And that will be the $30,000 low cost Tesla.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Those things.
The average guy Tesla, which actually makes your charging station problems even worse.
Yeah. But they don't underestimate how many charging stations they've built.
No, not talking about from a number standpoint, talking about the quality and the things that happen at the charging stations, right? You know, all of a sudden you get a, because listen, when I drive around and I can go to a brand new Love's gas station, or I can get a Quick Trip and I know it's a new thing and I know the quality is there versus in what you're talking about, going to a sketchy whatever station that's just, you're looking for that quality, right? Even in gas, you're looking for
Jim, have you been to Bucky's?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Okay. Bucky's fits in that same, you know, and there's another one.
Wawa is just like a 7-Eleven.
Are they? Okay. I thought I thought they were kind of a gas station giant of sorts.
Yeah.
Hold on. One more thought, John, on that as we think about the Teslas going forward. Do you think, let me hold that thought for a second. I want to come back to that here in a second. Did you have one final thought?
No, I was just going to say maybe we should move along, but go ahead and put your final thought out.
No. Let's move on. Let's catch up. It'll come.
Now I can't focus on anything else.
No, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. You'll do just fine. Let's go back a little bit of time. You know, the last time you were on, you were measuring a lot of things. You were doing a lot of stuff. You had just retired, and so some of this was new. Catch us up a little. What's worked and what hasn't? What have you ditched and what stayed, so to speak?
All right. So first of all, so talking health focus now, right? And always the caveat, I'm not a doctor. I'm not giving medical advice. This is an N of one, as we say. This is just what I've done and what's worked for me. So one of my focuses, I can't remember if we talked about this last time or not, but I've always been concerned with my blood glucose levels. Both of my parents were type 2 diabetics. And as I was getting my annual physical during my working years, I saw my average glucose, rising, not into the diabetic range, but definitely in the pre-range. So fasting glucose of, 105, 106, that range. A1C was up to 5.6 at one point, right? And the thing to think about with metabolic health and glucose levels and this kind of stuff is it's not a step function, right? So everyone says, okay, below 100, you're healthy. I forget the exact number. Tony can probably put in the chat, but we'll say 106. Okay, between 100 and 106, you're pre-diabetic. And then above that, okay, you've got diabetes. Okay, well, it's not a step function. That's a slope, right? So are you more metabolically healthy at 102 than you are at 107? And I would put forth the answer is yes, right? So try to keep below 100. So one of the things, I forget how I stumbled across this, but a continuous glucose monitor. So this is a thing, I actually have it on there now. It's a little thing you can stick in your arm.
And you had that on your arm 2.5 years ago when we
did.
You did. Yes, you just started that. Yeah.
I'm still doing it. Okay. And it kind of keeps me honest because when I take it off, I tend to have like 3 brownies instead of just one.
Right? So it becomes like an accountability feature.
It is for me.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Cause you don't want to disappoint the numbers, right?
I get the immediate feedback. Yeah. So what I noticed, as I retired and started sleeping better, my glucose, my metabolic health improved quite a bit, quite a bit. Right. So that's one thing.
What's the name of that, John, before? What's the name of that thing that you have on your arm? What's the name of
it? It's a continuous glucose monitor. And there are two companies primarily that make them. One is Dexcom, and the other one is Abbott Labs. Theirs is called a Libre. and they interface with your phone. I don't have to scan it or anything. It's just Bluetooth connected, so it gets continuous readings. It's really convenient. I really like it. The Libres will last 15 days. So I can get two of them, and that'll take me a whole month.
It's poking into your arm, right?
It inserts a little filament in there.
Yeah.
So it's actually measuring the interstitial fluid under your skin.
Okay. Does it itch?
Well, I tell you, I went with the Libre because the Dexcom adhesive I found did aggravate my skin. Okay. And the Libre did not.
Okay.
So, let's see. You don't feel it when you put it on. It's like one of these spring loaded things and you just push against your arm and it's just, and it's on.
And then
you just peel it off. Yeah.
Okay.
You can do it, Jim.
No, I know. No, I'm not gonna. But listen, the tracking bit is fascinating to me, and what you said about that, because that instant feedback and like you don't want to disappoint the numbers. When the numbers are hidden, you're more willing to just be like, well, it's going to be one. My dad was this way when. Right before he passed away, you know, I went and saw them and we were in the dining room and he was like, I'm gonna have a piece of apple pie tonight. I'm not supposed to have these, but this will be, he was diabetic too. And he'd be like, this is going to be the one time. And I'd be like, all right, Dad. So the first night. Okay. So the second day at lunch, he's like, I'm going to get a piece of apple pie. I just can't, you know, but this will be the last time. Right. And this went on for the whole time I was there. And you're like, Dad, stop lying to yourself. You're having a piece of apple pie every night. And he was, right? I think in some cases, you know, having that works as an accountability partner to you, because you don't want to disappoint those numbers. You're shooting for a certain range. And I think this is one of those areas where if you struggle with accountability from people, because I think some people struggle with the other person who has to say to you, isn't that your third piece today? Yeah. They get really resentful. This may be a solution. The technology bit may be a solution to people who don't want to hear from other people, but they're perfectly fine having, and sounds like with you, you're okay with this. You're perfectly fine following the numbers that are coming off the device, right?
Yep. And I'm using it as a learning tool, right? So here's mine now. 125, right?
I'm going to make your screen bigger so folks can see that. Go ahead.
Yeah, 125. Yeah, and there's my graph through the day, right? So it's been kind of up and down, not stable like I'd like it. Well, why is that? Well, I haven't slept well for the last couple nights. That's a big factor for me. And guess what, Jim? It's Christmas cookie time.
Oh, it is. It is indeed. Now,
to your point,
yeah.
I know I'm eating Christmas cookies. But I don't eat this crap all the time. So my wife made my favorite cookie last week. I'm eating it. And then I'll stop eating it. And I can do that, right? I don't seem to have that addiction where I need to have that stuff all the time.
Yeah.
So when I do have it, I enjoy it. What I've found for me that certain foods cause problems. Bananas in particular will spike me like crazy. Rice will spike me like crazy. I can eat oatmeal. So each person's different.
Yeah.
And what I've done with this, I like every Saturday I make pancakes. It's been a family thing. Well, I stopped putting syrup on my pancakes because I felt bad. And now I know why I felt bad.
Yeah.
And then what I found is, oh, if I substitute the pancake mix from flour and just add some almond flour in there and some oatmeal and make a blend, I still get good taste in pancakes, but it doesn't spike me. And it's the craziest thing. Like I can eat two pancakes and just be flat, which is awesome. Right. And the key here is I'm not sacrificing anything. These things still taste good. I'm not eating things that I don't like.
Right? Yeah. Well, you're getting the instant feedback from them.
Yeah.
And you were with that, you know, with the patch, you were able to say, I made it this way and it had this effect. The next week I made it this way and that number stayed the same. And then you could confirm that over a couple weeks, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And then say, okay, so the taste is okay. This is where I think this is the missing side of getting your diet right in some ways.
That's right.
Is we don't really know. We make these changes and you don't really know. Is it having the effect we're hoping for?
Because you can't feel it necessarily.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
unless you really, really, like when I had the syrup on there, I felt bad. But if I just would eat a piece of banana bread.
It was worth the sacrifice though, right? You're with the family.
It was. I don't do it anymore. I haven't eaten syrup in years.
Yeah.
I don't miss it.
Yeah. Would natural syrup not make any, like if you got maple syrup from Canada?
When I was eating syrup, I was doing actual maple syrup.
Okay. You were doing good stuff. You were doing.
Yeah, absolutely. If I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it.
You're going to do it all the way.
Hey, here's the thing. A couple things else I've learned. Yeah. I need cheesecake. Cheesecake doesn't spike me because the fat content is higher.
Ah.
So by, you know, having that, I mean, you learn all sorts of tricks. Like, if you eat your salad first and then eat your meat and then you have your carb part of your meal, well, you've got more food in your stomach. So it's not digesting the carbs as fast.
Okay.
Right.
Wow.
Now here's another thing I learned from, I get my CGM from a place called levelshealth.com, and their whole point is to try to figure out, what glucose looks like in non-diabetic people. So that's how I was able to get these CGMs without being diabetic. But one of the things they found out is that alcohol moderates your glucose response.
Yes. Yes.
But one of the things they say is like, this should not be used as a glucose response.
Right on. You have to be careful with that. Yeah.
And like with all things, it does other things besides.
For sure. It's absolute poison. Like,
it is.
Alcohol is absolute poison for your system. Yeah.
Yep.
Not going to stop.
And then the other thing I learned for me, maybe even more important than what I eat, is how much I eat. If I eat a lot, I spike up there and I stay there for like 2 or 3 hours.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's not good. Yeah. So that's helped me figure out, hey, don't do that.
John, can I just buy one of these? Do I have to get a doctor thing?
So actually, I went through.
I'm now fascinated with it. So okay,
and so you're going to be even more fascinated. So when I was doing this, you couldn't just go buy them. You needed a prescription.
Okay.
And Levels Health was able, you know, they were doing research, so I could sign up online. They had a doctor on staff that would write the prescription. That's how I get mine. But Dexcom just released an over-the-counter version.
Okay.
And it's called Stelo. And it's $100 a month. So for $100, you could get two of these and do it for a month and figure out what's going on.
15 days each basically is
probably it might be like, I think Dexcoms are 10 days. So you might get three of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what I do is alternate arms. So I'm on this arm now. When I put the next one on, I'll go back over here.
Well, why not consistent in a consistent spot? You would think maybe because
I'm giving my skin a break from the adhesive.
That's a good call. Okay. Yep. That's got to be on the back of the right arm or the back of the left arm. Is that where
that's where I prefer it. Okay. It doesn't get caught on anything. And it's actually, this patch is a patch over top of the device. So if I bump up against the doorway or something, it won't rip out of my arm.
Yeah. I may give it a shot. My dad had type 2 and now he was absolutely self-induced.
Yeah. Dad was too.
Yeah. Absolutely selfish.
He would eat a literal cereal bowl of ice cream before he got to bed every night. And then every morning, but he was very methodical. Like he would take his blood glucose measurement in the morning when he woke up, did the stick thing.
Yeah.
Kept a spreadsheet, but it was like, oh, it's 300. Well, that was the ice cream I ate last night. Like he never put the two together. It's like, you shouldn't be eating ice cream.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was full blown diabetic. And my goal is to not get there.
What does CGM stand for again?
Continuous glucose monitor.
Okay. All right. Okay. Just to make sure we get that in there. I saw that in the notes. And so for you, I mean, certainly this, it's changed the equation. I mean, you've said in a couple places, you're making foods differently. You're eating differently. Did it bother? I mean, Kelly's got to live with you around this thing. Did that bother her? Did she have to change anything?
No, she doesn't.
The spouse factor is always the worst on these things, right?
No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, I was thinking about that before the show, you know, because if you go on some sort of crazy, you know, ketogenic diet, for say, or I'm never going to eat grain or whatever it is, right? That impacts the whole family. Mm-hmm. You can't do that. No, it's just, we eat the same thing.
Yeah.
but the food tastes good.
I hope so.
I mean,
well, I eat some crappy food that doesn't taste good and I still eat it, but you know, it is a good, I would be interested, to be honest with you, I would be interested in what my morning, I have a fairly protein solid morning routine now that I've been working out mornings and, mm-hmm. and I've got access to some really pretty good food for breakfast, right? Standpoint. And I'm not eating the high sugary, lot of carb stuff for breakfast, right? I'd be interested in like, how good is that really for me? And what are my, you know, I'd be interested. I'm doing these long brick workouts where they're 2 or 3 hours. I'd be really interested. I have stellar stats on my heart rate. It'd be really interesting to see like what's the blood glucose doing during that time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, we eat the same food and you know, the thing, I guess what I'm trying to communicate is the changes I made haven't been huge.
Sure.
I've only had to make minor changes. Like, I've changed the cereal I eat in the morning.
Sure.
Because certain kinds of cereal would spike me. And now mm-hmm. I eat, you know, a blend of Fiber One and Fiber One honey clusters.
Yeah.
And it's fine.
Yeah.
Kelly eats whatever cereal she wants.
Sarah and I, breakfast and lunch are completely separate. It's dinner that, you know, we come home and cook dinner. I'd be real interested in knowing, okay, what are these? Now we don't do HelloFresh anymore, but we do Sarah Fresh, which is HelloFresh recipes Sarah's, right? She's gone out and then I cook them. And it'd be interesting to see at shepherd's pie tonight for dinner. Yeah. It'd be interesting to see what that kind of, okay. Blood glucose is not everything though, John, but what else are you tracking there and why is that important to you?
Yeah. Well, I still do blood work. I do a lot of blood, like twice a year I get blood work done with a company called Inside Tracker and they just, you know, run the gamut of everything.
Right.
Nothing's really, the two big things for me, and you know this from family history, type 2 diabetes and heart disease. My dad essentially died from both of those things together. Okay. So what I'm tracking is my cholesterol, which is not high, but what's been interesting. So there's a book that I recommend. It's right here. It's called Outlive, Peter Attia, right? So none of this stuff is crazy stuff. This is just, what do we know about health and our health span? What kills us and how can we avoid that? Well, you know, not forever, but the goal is, you know, stay healthy, 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 and then fall off the cliff, right? Not this progression where you're laying around for 10 years while you're slowly dying, right? I always say I want to die hiking in the Colorado Rockies right, with my grandkids.
Yeah, you say that, but they don't want to be there with you when that happens. It's good for you, John, not good for them. Yes. Yeah.
So anyway, within this book, one of the things he points out is like, okay, what's killing us? He calls them the four horsemen: metabolic health, so diabetes, cardiovascular disease, mm-hmm. cancer, and Alzheimer's disease. And what we found is if you have diabetes, that's gasoline on the fire of those other diseases. Mm-hmm. So everything you can do to keep your metabolic health good is going to help you for the longer
term. Great place to start. Great place to start. Right. Yeah. And listen, blood glucose and cholesterol too, regardless of how you feel about them, because everybody's got different, different opinions about those are, but for those who are concerned, those are two really easy things to measure. I mean, you've already talked about the patch. Even if you don't want to do the patch, your annual blood work will tell you, because you're getting physicals now. I'm just not talking to you, John. I'm talking to everybody else that's listening. Yep. You are getting annual physicals now. You should be doing that.
Because Jim told you 5 years ago to do that.
Exactly. You should be doing that. And you'll get that blood write up or that blood work up in your annual physical of both where your sugar, you know, where your blood sugars are and where your cholesterol is. And you can begin to have a conversation with your doctor to say, is this the right thing for me? Right. I think ultimately you got to find the right place. So too easy with technology, too easy things to measure. Are we at a spot? Can we get Besides the patch, is there any other way to get instant glucose? Or is that the best way, do you think?
That's the best way right now. Yeah. Apple keeps thinking they're going to be able to do something with the Apple Watch. And, maybe. But and
cholesterol. You know,
CES is coming up. Maybe we'll find out something at CES. But right now it's CGM and then just annual or semi-annual blood work for your other stuff.
Yeah. Those are two easy things to. Yeah. And then those, what you're saying is those two things really play into some of the other diseases that we suffer with.
Right. And for me, my top two are diabetes and then heart disease. Right. Yeah. And what's been interesting is I've essentially taken away sugar and lowered the amount of carbs in my diet. Right. For the diabetes part. Well, you fill that with something and I filled it with fat. Right. And I'm not eating globs of fat, but And what's interesting is I've noticed that as I increase saturated fat, my LDL cholesterol goes up. Mm. Right. So it's not high. It's not crazy high. Right. It's like 100.
Right.
Not optimal.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Yeah. So I'm a healthy guy. And so everyone's like, oh, you're too focused on. No, I just find it very fascinating and I want to optimize.
Yeah.
But it's that balance. So I could lower my LDL cholesterol, but at the price of increasing my carb intake.
Yeah.
But I think I found a healthy
balance. Chew on celery all day. You'll be fine.
That's my habit. So one more point out of this book. He talks about this thing he calls the centenarian decathlon. And what he means by that is like, okay, in your last decade of life as a human, what is it you'd still like to be able to do? Do you want to be able to pick your grandkid up off the floor and play with them? Mm-hmm. Right. Do you want to be able to carry the groceries in from the car on your own? That kind of stuff, right? And if you think about that, okay, well, I want to be able to pick my grandkid up. Well, how much does your grandkid weigh? Yeah, 40 pounds, okay. Well, can you pick something up now that's 40 pounds and put it over your head? Because if you can't, do you think in 20 years you're going to be able to do that?
Right.
Probably not. Well, now you got to work backwards. So if I can pick 40 pounds up in 20 years from now, what do I need to pick up now and how do I get there? Because you're not going to get stronger as you age. You are going to get weaker.
Yeah.
So you need to get as strong as you can right now.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that kind of mindset. Same with aerobic capacity, right? You talked about doing your stair climb. VO2 max, another thing that you can measure. That declines as you age. So if I want to go hiking in the Rockies when I'm, 75, can I do it now?
Right.
I better, because I'm not going to be getting better at it. It's going to be going down and I can't affect that. Right. The best I can do is get it the best I can be now and then ride that down. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, right on. Right on. And there's some current thought going into, and I saw a commercial, I forget where I saw this, but it was like, hey, it's great if you could do five full pull-ups. But if you can't do five full pull-ups, there's a progression. Can you lean against the wall and do, if you can do 15 against the wall, that means you can start doing this. And then if you can do five of those, you can start doing that. And I think there's some things, it's great to have a gym and some of that kind of stuff. But actually, we have all the tools that we kind of need in the things that are around us. We just actually need to do something.
You got to do the work.
Actually need to do something. And I think those kinds of workouts are actually more, I sometimes do this where I think I've got to do it all at once, all at the same time. And I got to be running 10 miles the second I think of it. And you're like, no, actually, why don't you start by walking? This in my current iteration of working out, that started a year ago when I started just walking. Like, hey, okay. It's been a long pandemic for me in working out. Maybe I should just start getting a consistent walking thing going, right? And then you can start adding, you can kind of start growing and adding and doing more and doing other stuff. So I do want to, I think for folks, especially our audience, my audience that's listening to this, you may be feeling like, I need to go work out. Okay, yeah, you do. You need to start something, but start small, like little tiny things at first. Because you'll injure yourself or you'll be so sore you can't get out of bed the next day. And then you're definitely not going to work out again for a while. So take it slow.
Yeah. Yep. It's just establish that habit and then add a little bit more each time.
No, for sure. Yeah, no, for sure. So,
yeah. So, I know we're getting late here, Jim. I just had like a couple more things.
Well, there's always, you always give me more than we could talk about, but wrap some stuff up, Jim.
So going to the gym, I've been going there for a year now, and I'm actually the strongest now that I've ever been in my entire life.
Good. Good. Right. Yeah.
And there's the folks that are at this gym. This isn't Merit, right? Or any of your commercial gyms. This is just a regular small town gym, a barbell gym. There are a large group of older people there. And one of the guys that's there just celebrated his 80th birthday.
Nice.
Right. There's like 9 people there over 80. Well, this guy can deadlift more than I can. He gives me crap about it all the time. Right, he says, is that all you're lifting today? Okay. Yeah. Well, that's what I warm up with. And that's awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah, good for him.
I told him I had 20 years to catch up to him.
That's right. That's right. But
the point is, he didn't start out doing that, right? No. But, I mean, you would not know this guy's 80 years old. All these people that are doing this are physically younger than they are chronologically. Yeah. Right? So, you know, that would just be my thing to everybody. I was like, just start doing it because it's not going to get easier. And then, Jim, the last thing I wanted to mention, you talked about your aerobic stuff.
Yeah.
And the balance of doing the hard workouts, the long workouts, then the slower ones. And that leads into the last thing I want to talk about. And there's this thing, it's actually a heart rate monitor. Here's a little band that goes around your chest, and then this device that you can't see what it says, but it's called Morpheus. And what this does is it's a heart rate monitor, but also measures heart rate variability. And your body, your heart rate variability, which is how consistent your heartbeats are. Okay. So you would think more consistent is better. It's actually the opposite. So there's a little variability in there. The more rested you are, the more variability you have. So when you're really stressed and you think about, hey, I'm in stress, your heart's going boom, 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 right? So with this device, you can actually tell how well recovered you are from your workouts.
Mm.
And it will teach you how many minutes in each zone for building your aerobic capacity. So this is purely an aerobic device, right, to build your cardio function up. Because over the past 5 years doing the weightlifting stuff, I've ignored my aerobic capacity. Mm-hmm. So I'm starting to add mm-hmm. that back in mm-hmm. now. And this is a great device that tells me just how hard I can go each day. So every morning I do the measurement with this thing, and then it'll give me the zones. Like, okay, today my zone 2 heart rate was 130 beats per minute. Well, if I've gotten no sleep, it might be down to like 120.
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll tell you how many minutes a week you should be up in zone 5. And it's actually a lot smaller than you would think. It's like 5 minutes. And then in the green middle zone, maybe 10 to 15 a week. But a lot of it is that zone 2, which they call the blue zone. So the idea is build your aerobic capacity. It's almost like a triangle. You get a big solid base with your long, slow, steady workouts. And then you hit the peaks every now and then, once or twice a week with those hard workouts. But don't crush yourself. Right? Give your body time to recover. Like
settle in. Yeah, get some rest. Yeah, rest is super important.
And this thing, I looked at their website right before we got on here. They're having a sale now. It's actually $79 for this thing.
Yeah.
And it's just a one-time purchase. You just know a subscription or anything like that. So if you're interested in cardio capacity building, I highly recommend this thing.
Yeah, trainwithmorpheus.com. If you want to go out and check that out, I'll put the link in the show notes as well. And they're not an affiliate or anything like that. But if you want to head out there, John, I do a lot of the same things with my Apple Watch. More accurate,
and I found out about these guys because they were on the Peter Attia podcast, which I listen to, you know, every week, deep dive into this stuff. And from what they said, this chest strap is the way to go if you want accurate heart rate,
for sure.
Right? If you're on your wrist, you think about it, that thing's moving around, it's using light to sense your heart rate, right? So where's it positioned? How thick is your wrist at that time? How tight is the band? Mm-hmm. All those things are playing into it.
Yep. I get pretty good measurements that I'm comfortable with, measuring it long enough, you kind of get a similar situations. You kind of get a feel where you're at. I was the guy that I work out with. We both have Apple Watches. He has a little newer one than I have, but my target heart rate was always 10 beats less than his. So he'd be in the 150s. I'd be in the 40s, no matter what we were doing. And we're doing it together. We're doing the exact same distance and time together. Mm-hmm. And we thought, well, maybe it was the watch. So we switched watches. One day I wore his, he wore mine. Guess what? I was in the 140s. He was in the one, like it was the same. The watch was doing its job.
How old is he?
You know, he's actually younger. He's 50. Yeah, he's 51 and I'm 56.
Yeah. So our heart rates decline as
So
that would make sense.
We weren't worried about it. It was one of those, you know, also our hearts are all designed a little bit different, right? I mean, and some people's beat faster and some people's beat slower. And I think the key is to find the consistency over time and find, in conjunction with your fitness trainer or your doctor, find the right, you know, the right stuff for you. And your health condition and where you're at. And, you know, listen, you can work off of the watch sends some stuff to the phone and the phone gives me some stats and says things like you're steady or you're improving or whatever. Okay. Mm-hmm. All that stuff is great, but I talk to my doctor about it every time I go in to say, hey, here's what I'm getting. Here's what I'm seeing. Here are my numbers. I just want your opinion on this. He's one bit of data. Right. There's other things that go into it. So Garmin also makes a heart rate monitor like that one that mm-hmm. you can, if you're in the Garmin system, you can get one of those. A lot of runners do that and they put them, it's a chest strap. Too restrictive for me, John. I feel like it's choking me when I tried wearing that one time and it was just like, I didn't like the feeling that it gave me. So I was pretty content when Apple came out. Okay, I'm going to use that as my steady measurement, knowing that it may not be 100% accurate, close enough for me.
Yeah, I'd say the real thing for all of us is we have to fight this Y chromosome that we have, which makes us just go harder, harder.
I know. Yeah,
you're still breathing. You can go harder.
Right on. And some, you know what, sometimes we do need to go harder and sometimes we can give it a little bit more, as we get older, sometimes we do need that rest, put your feet up, get some rest, hydrate, all of those things. Today I did a really hard workout, about 45 minutes, pretty tough, got in, went right to coffee and about halfway into the coffee drinking, I'm like, I have not drank any water at all this morning.
Yeah.
So I had in my office, I have a big Gallup mug that they gave me. I filled that thing up and I literally just guzzled it just to get the water back in me. Cause it's easy to get dehydrated.
Yeah. And the other thing I'd say is tomorrow, take an easy workout or take a day off if you really went hard today.
Yeah. I have a different kind of workout set up, and then Saturday's a rest day and then Sunday's a 90 minute. So I definitely get that feed up time. You know, we did a 2.5 hour workout on Sunday, and Sunday afternoon was definitely feed up.
It's football time.
Feet up, watching TV, not doing much. And then Mondays was just a walk, just a recovery walk.
Yep, perfect. That sounds great.
Keep the body moving. Yeah, so good. John, thanks for – there's always more to talk about. We'll have to have you back on here at some point in time. Catch back up on some things. You may have talked me into that at least for a month or two. What I'm afraid of is it's a disaster and I'm really going to have to change.
Well, all right. So what if it's a disaster? Would you rather know it's coming and hang around for several more years or?
Well, I'm in that spot. I'm 57. I'll be 57 next year. And my dad had a heart attack at 65 and was type 2 diabetic. I'm in the same boat you're in. Now, I do infinitely more fitness than he does. I have a way better diet than he does. I measure my blood cholesterol level and my glucose levels on an annual basis, sometimes twice a year, kind of based on things that are going on. I manage those pieces. So I'm a little, I'm a little more, I feel a little more content, but I still got some fine tuning to do. And I think this is like one of those kinds of things where you get older, it's more important. When you're young, you can overcome a lot of things.
That's absolutely right. Yeah. And don't, I would say if you do it for a month, don't change anything, right? Your goal that month for is sure. to learn. Yeah. It's not to modify stuff. So eat everything you usually eat and just see what it does.
Yeah. I think that's good. What's the cost?
It was $100 for a month.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe January, maybe mid January. Get clear of the holidays, which are some, get into some normal months or normal weeks and pick that up and put the patch on for 4 weeks and see what it does for me.
Yeah, so, great.
Okay. John, thanks for coming on. Can you hang out for a minute while I close this thing up? I've got that Tesla question that I want to ask you. We'll ask it in the post show. Can you hang? Okay. Can you hang for just a few extra minutes? Don't fall asleep on me while
those Patreon subscribers, you know, hanging on to find out the Tesla question.
Yeah, for sure. That's exactly what it is. If you want to join us in the Discord group, head over to theaverageguy.tv/Discord. Lots of good conversations going on there. If you want to send me an email, you got some feedback on the show, you want more information or whatever, send me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv. And then don't forget theaverageguy.tv, both web and media hosting powered by Maple Grove Partners. It's Christian, you know, and it's, he still has $10 plans. I mean, why would you not, you can't afford not to do it. Head over to maplegrovepartners.com. Check that out today. He's the nicest guy on the internet. The most secure, well, I probably shouldn't say it that way, a very secure guy on the internet, cares about that a lot, and he's just a super great guy. So check it out today, Maple Grove Partners. We are live every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, out here at theaverageguy.tv /live. Love to have you join us on a Thursday night. It'd be fun to come out. I think Aaron's coming. Next week's Christmas. By the way, Merry Christmas to everybody who's made it this far in the program. And happy holidays to you as we have New Year's coming up and all those things happening this time of year. Taking the week off, and then Aaron joins me next week. And let me see. Let me pull, scroll. And then Mike Weaker is back. Oh. So there'll be some Ameshtastic update there on the 9th of January, and Aaron's here at the 2nd. So come out and join us live. We'd love to have you out there. We'll ask the question. I got this barn burner question. We won't go too long, but we'll do it in the post show. With that, we'll say goodbye.